Hi, it's Tim Dre, president of the Illinois AFL-CIO. Thank you for listening to The Worker's Mic, supported by the Illinois AFL-CIO, fighting every day for working families. Visit ilafl-cio.org today. Enjoy the show, and remember, it's better in a union.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to The Worker's Mic right here on 720 WGN, powered by the National Coalition of Labor. I am Ken Edwards with the NCL, sitting to my right today, Phil Davidson, Mid-America Carpenters Regional Council. Good morning.
Good morning, Ken.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, buddy.
I don't want to start the New Year's off with bad news, but I have to tell everybody this, and that is the Surgeon General just came out and said that drinking alcohol is no longer good for you.
Boo.
That it might cause cancer.
Do you have a boo button on your soundboard there?
Yeah. I'm sure we can get one. So, come on. Like, what are they gonna say next, Phil? Cigarettes are bad?
Yeah, I've heard that. Yeah, I know.
It's unbelievable. So, all this time, one drink a day is good for you. A glass of wine is actually healthy for you. And now they've come full circle. Like, nope, alcohol is officially bad for you. And they're saying that they should have labels on like they have cigarettes.
Yeah, that's the new push right now, is that all bottles of alcohol will have a Surgeon General warning. But yeah,
all this thanks to Bud Light for ruining everything,
right?
Thanks a lot, Bud Light.
My take is, like, we're all gonna die, right? That is true. That is a fact.
That is an actual fact. Yes.
So I mean, if you die a little bit earlier but you get to have a drink every once in a while, I don't know,
it's cost, trade-off. It's cost benefit analysis.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, look, let's see what happens. And I will tell you this, though, and we're gonna have a conversation with the guys from Coker that are here to talk about our open enrollment, life insurance, et cetera, that you know darn well that insurance companies are going to put that as a question, right?
Yep.
Are you smoker, non-smoker? Now it's going to be drinker, non-drinker.
Yeah.
And that will make most of our members liars.
Yeah. Now you have, according to the Surgeon General, a verified cancer risk if you say you drink. Yeah, which is...
Oh, my God. Where's the alcohol lobby on this?
Yeah.
Like, aren't they the most, like, one of the most powerful lobbies in the world, you would think?
Yeah, they'll be back. Trust me. Yeah, they'll be fighting this tooth and nail. And also, it feels like it's a little too late. Like, people are already stopping drinking.
You know, if you look at young people,
drinking numbers, statistics across the board are down. More young people are just deciding to go sober. Maybe that California sober gummies, you know, not as much drinking happening. Like, put this out back in the 70s when everyone was wasted, you know, like priests, bus drivers, you know, everyone was hammered.
Priests and bus drivers. That's your experience, Phil,
On the job.
Yeah, I know. Things are not what they were. But, whatever. I guess everybody can do their own research, look at it. But if the Surgeon General's saying it, I gotta assume it's true.
Yeah.
Anyway, so real quick, before we get to the guy from Coker and talk about open enrollment, the Senate...
Boo.
Yeah, boo. Yeah. Boo, Kristen Sinema and Joe Manchin. I just can't. Anyway, there were two seats or board member seats for the National Labor Relations Board that were up. One was a woman named Patricia McFerrin, I think.
Lauren.
Lauren McFerrin, sorry.
Yeah, yeah.
And then another guy, a Safe Hearth attorney here in Chicago, Josh Deidelberg, who I actually back in the day had negotiations against.
Really?
Yeah, it was a good dude, actually. So they were both up, and the Senate... basically shot it down.
Yeah.
And that would have given the Dems a majority for the next number of years.
2026, I believe.
I think that's right.
Yeah.
And now they blocked both the Republican and the Dem. Why? Because they know that when Trump takes over and everything flips, that there will be a certain, definitely a Republican, and yet now there's going to be another one.
Yeah.
Which goes to the, back to my theory of, then what's the point of having a National Labor Relations Board, right? They're already talking about all these cases that are going to be overturned. We talked about Dartmouth basketball, Phil.
Yeah.
Remember those players organized?
Yeah.
They withdrew their petition.
Did they really?
Yeah.
So they didn't
get an adverse ruling from the new board. So it's like, come on. Do we have to flip-flop every 4 years, 8 years, whatever it is, when one party takes control and goes, all that precedent that happened in the last 6 years or 8 years or whatever it is, we're going to wipe that out now. We're going to go back to this rule, and when the new administration comes out, we're going to change and go back to this rule. It's just a seesaw.
Yeah, it's absurd.
And it shouldn't be. It's supposed to be, nonpartisan, and it has become, yet like everything else, just another partisan arm.
Yeah.
And it's a shame because really who gets hurt in all this? Workers.
Right.
End of discussion.
And then not to mention just the very existence of the NLRB is under threat. I mean,
I know.
I mean, in the next couple of years, is that even going to be around? I mean, it's hard to forecast that right now, but certainly there's winds against it. Yeah.
I'm going to have to go with no.
Yeah.
But like I said, and I'll say that until I'm blue in the face. Be careful what you ask for.
Yep.
Like you guys were talking about last week with the Amazon strike and the Starbucks walkouts and all this kind of stuff. That's going to be the rule of the day if there's no more board. You know what I mean? It's going to be constant self-help. So, Boo on Kristen Sinema, who, by the way, had a comment about it when asked, right? They said, what do you think?
Yeah, what did you think how this affected, people in the labor community and
your constituents?
She, and I quote, "I don't give a word we can't repeat on the air."
That's what she said.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Classy broad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Classy broad.
I'm very comfortable calling her a broad.
That's nice, Phil.
Yeah.
All right, listen, we got to take a break, and then we're going to come back with two guys from Coker Insurance Group. We're going to talk about open enrollment. We're going to talk about life insurance. We're going to talk about some financial literacy type stuff, some good stuff coming your way right here on The Workers' Mic, 720 WGN.
You're listening to The Workers' Mic, powered by the National Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megan Financial, Premise Health, and Voya Financial.
Welcome back, everyone, to The Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN. Ken, Phil, we're super psyched today to have with us Trent Monk from Coker Insurance Group, Will McCabe from Coker Insurance Group. Welcome, guys.
Yeah, thanks for having us, Ken.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So we were talking about life insurance, right? It's open enrollment time. Actually, we only have a few more weeks of open enrollment. We have it once a year. And you guys... talk about what you guys do. Like, you guys work for Coker Insurance Group, that is one of our sponsors of the show, and also takes care of all of our claims. Let's just start with Trent. First of all, who are you and how long have you been working with Carl?
Yeah, so I've been working with Coker Insurance Group for 6 years now.
Wow. Where'd you go to school?
Penn State.
Oh, smarty pants.
Look for you, yeah. Finally, right? A good football team.
Finally, yeah.
Yeah.
So, all right, you've been there. So, what's your title?
So, I'm a vice president.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And Will?
Vice president as well.
How long have you been there?
For 5 years now. Just hit 5 years.
Where did you go to school?
I went to Miami University in Ohio.
Trent, you just got married, right?
I did, yes. Back in September.
Yeah. Huge mistake. That's great. Congratulations.
Don't listen to him. Don't listen to him.
And Will, are you single?
I am single.
Ashley. Have you met Ashley? She makes a lot of money, and I don't know if you know this, Ashley, but Will's the vice president of Coker Insurance Group. He's a multi-millionaire.
You might have to fight the Italian pizza cook, though.
Yeah. Guy from...
From beyond.
That's pretty funny. All right, so anyway, let's be serious for a bit. One of the things that the Midwest Coalition of Labor, now the National Coalition of Labor, does and started was when we started this thing, with you guys, Phil, and the carpenters, et cetera, and all the other unions, was we went out for bid on what's called guaranteed issue life insurance. Trent, what's guaranteed issue life insurance?
So essentially no medical questions asked. You sign up for the coverage and it's guaranteed issue and you have that on the effective date.
And so do they come to your house and take a swab of your nose?
Nope, they do not. All you have to do is fill out an application online. Again, no health questions.
Nothing.
Nothing.
So they don't ask whether you drink, smoke, any of that kind of stuff?
Nope, none of that.
Well, as we were talking about earlier, the Surgeon General now says drinking is, causes cancer. Right?
Yeah, they might put the warning on bottles now.
Well,
yeah.
But,
like, that's going to stop people.
Well, yeah. Please. But don't you think, like, and I'm just asking you, like, to look at the future, don't you think that now that's happening, that's going to be a question on life insurance exams, right? Because it's like, do you smoke? That's Surgeon General.
Right.
Do you drink? That's Surgeon General. And that's going to make 99.9% of our membership liars.
Yeah. You put it that way, yeah.
So anyway, I just in part, but our program, when we started this, we literally went out for bid and said, hey, we want what's called guaranteed issue. No medical questions, like you said, Trent. No exams. Nobody coming to your house. We just want guaranteed life insurance for building trades, construction workers. And, people laughed. And companies laughed at us and said, you're never going to get that. It's never going to happen. A, they're construction workers, right? And B, nobody issues guaranteed issue anything without answering a couple of what you call knockout questions or up the price questions or things like that. And you guys were able to, you know, with Carl's help, secure us a program through Voya. So, Will, talk about our program. How does it work?
Yeah. So, you know, as we discussed, there's no medical questions, no medical exams. So it's as simple as just getting signed up. When you look elsewhere, they're going to have non-smoker rates, smoker rates.
Right.
They might ask a handful of medical questions if you have high blood pressure or whatnot.
Yep.
None of that's included with us. So all of the pricing is just dependent on your age. It's as simple as just getting signed up.
That's it.
Yeah. And then we handle all of the claims in office as well. So we reach out to the families of deceased members and get those claims paid out within about a week or so.
So I want to go back to the beginning of this because I do think it's important. Voya Financial, right, which used to be ING,
yep.
and they're a good American company based in the Midwest, based in Minnesota. You know, they were the ones that stepped to the plate and said, you know what, we're going to take the risk with you guys. We understand sort of the long game of what you guys are doing. And we started with, you know, each union could buy their own, you know, base level benefit, $10,000, whatever it is that they wanted to buy. Most bought about $10,000 worth of life insurance for all of their members. And then the members at that point could buy another $100,000 on top of it. Today, what is that number?
So it's now $350,000.
$350,000 worth of life and $350,000 worth of accidental death and dismemberment, right?
Yep, correct.
And so obviously it's grown. Today, I think we hold close to $8 billion in coverage.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Eight billion.
Wow.
Billion with a B.
Wow.
And so it's pretty cool. And how much, like, what have we paid out?
Over $30 million in claims so far. And that's just the life insurance claims. You know, we also have critical illness insurance, accident insurance.
So we're going to talk about that in a minute. But we've paid out $30 million.
That's correct.
In the building trades, A, our guys, you know, they, look, especially the operators, right? They're sedentary. They're sitting in the machine all day. They drink. They smoke, unfortunately.
Not the healthiest eating habits.
Yeah, they eat.
A lot of roach coaches.
Yeah, they're eating on the run, right? Yeah. They're eating, you know, on a job site. You know, they're getting up early. It's a relatively stressful job as well. They have high blood pressure. They have, you know, prediabetes. I mean, we have it all.
Yeah.
Like, we literally check all those boxes. So for us to be able to get guaranteed life insurance without asking any questions or answering any questions, I should say, has been an absolute godsend to us. So when we started, we were at $100,000. Today, we're, like you said, we're at $350,000 worth of life, $350,000 worth of accidental death and dismemberment. What's that, Trent?
So essentially, if a member were to pass away, either at home, on the job, and it's due to an accident, then the benefit would pay out both life insurance and the AD&D. So if the member bought $350,000 of each, it'd be a total payout of $700,000.
So spouses, if you're listening to this, make it look like an accident. Heyo, that's a joke.
That's not legal advice.
That is not legal advice. But yeah, it doubles your money, right? If you die in an accident.
Yes, exactly.
And unfortunately, our members, you know, they have
high-risk jobs.
They have high-risk jobs, right? Yeah. And they have the jet skis. They have the snowmobiles. They have the motorcycles. You know, it is what it is. So I always, and that, by the way, that's dirt cheap, is it not? The accidental death piece, it's like 50 cents for every
50 cents per 10,000.
I mean,
and it matches the life insurance benefit.
Right. So let's go back to the life insurance for a second. A couple of things about life insurance. One is the wealthy of this country, Phil, and everybody that's listening, have been using life insurance for centuries, right? To transfer wealth. Why? Because it's tax-free, mm-hmm. right? It's a tax-free benefit. So if you have a life insurance plan, it goes to your beneficiary tax-free.
Tax-free,
right? So the rich people have been using this for years, taking out multi-million dollars worth of life insurance, and then voila, you know, there they go. That money transfers tax-free. We, in the middle class, you know, we would have death benefits through our union, but they were taxable, and we're just going on a merry way. We always, you know, the middle class always pays the most for everything, right?
Of course, yeah.
Because we're not financially savvy, but we're learning now. And we're in year six of this. And so we're at these, you know, these pretty high numbers of people, but we need more participation, quite frankly, right? Because what does more participation do? It lowers the cost.
Yeah.
And we've had a couple of rate reductions from Voya, which you guys have negotiated for us, which we appreciate, obviously. Using our economies of scale. But the money goes tax free. And so if you have a death benefit through your union, you know, one of the things that you should ask is, hey, is that fully insured, or is that, like, do I have to pay taxes on that? Because the worst thing is to a spouse will get a check, you know, from a union or a fund, and it's like, oh my, you know, here's a check for 20 grand or whatever that number is, and oh, by the way, you know, 8 months later, you get a 1099, you got to pay taxes.
Here's your tax bill, yeah.
Right, and they have already spent it.
Yeah.
So our life insurance is tax-free, correct?
That's correct, yeah. We get asked that all the time. If you have $350K in benefits, you're going to get paid $350K.
What are the terms for that coverage? What does someone pay for the full
$350K? Yeah, let's talk about that. So what is let's say a 30-year-old, right? What would they pay for $350,000 worth of life insurance?
So the way our policy works is it's set up in age bands.
Okay.
So the member would be in the 30 to 34 age band during that time. And per $10,000 of coverage, that would cost 90 cents.
90 cents.
90 cents per 10,000.
Okay. So it's like 30 bucks and change, right?
Exactly.
Right.
Okay. And then 35-year-old, it's like 40 bucks and change.
Yeah, $1.35 per 10,000.
That's it. Mm-hmm. And then it moves up, obviously, as you go. Correct. And by the way, we have age bands that start at pre-20.
Yeah.
So a young kid walking in, you know, is what? It's like 70 cents or 80 cents or something. Like that. I mean, it's really, really cheap when you're young.
Right.
And then it starts to tick up every 5 years. It goes up. But when you're 40 to 45, it's still only $2 and change for every 10,000, right?
Correct.
So you're talking about 60, 70 bucks for $350,000 worth of life. Add another 15 to that or whatever it is for another $350,000 worth of AD&D. Mm-hmm. And you're talking about the price of, you know, Netflix for 2 months.
Right.
I mean, that's it.
Yeah.
To protect your family. So, you know, and I'm going to say this now. For those of you listening that are in the coalition, what number can they call, guys?
888-212-7822.
All right. Say it again.
888-212-7822.
Now, who's going to answer that phone?
It's going to be me, Trent, or one of the other guys in my office.
You're literally going to answer the phone.
Yes.
It's not going to go overseas.
Impressive. Yeah.
That's right.
So there's no call centers, right? It's literally going to your guys' office.
That's right.
And you answer every single phone call.
Yes, we do.
I know you do. These are loaded questions. I know you do.
I want to hear some of the stories about some of the calls that you get and the people that you help.
I do
yeah.
too.
Yeah.
Hold on to that thought for a second, though. When we started this program, Phil,
yeah.
we were using a company, and I think it was like Voya had a blah, blah, blah company, and I just wasn't thrilled with the service that we were getting, to be honest with you. And so, like everything else we've done in the coalition, we've insourced that work. So if you're listening, you know, President-elect Trump and everybody else that's talking about, you know, insourcing jobs, you know, take a look at the coalition, because every single phone call that you made is going to be answered by somebody like Trent or Will, no matter what our benefit level is, right? Whatever that benefit is, that's who's going to answer the phone. So we insource that, and immediately we started getting people go like, you know what? That was fantastic. I talked to Will, for example, on the phone. He was on the phone with me for a half hour.
Yeah.
You know, he knows my name. He knows my husband's name, right? Let's say it's a spouse, right? He told me what to get, when to get it, how much it is, you know, what is, blah, 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 blah. He sent me copies of my docket, like everything they need. Like, these guys literally handle.
That makes such a difference when the experience by most Americans is trying to get a claim process when they have to call their insurer. I mean, they give up after a while. I think it's a war of attrition, and that's maybe part of the insurer's plan of, like, we're stall, and eventually they'll go away.
We'll take your money,
right.
But we're never going to give it back. And so what do you – like, you guys get a claim, and I do want to talk about some positive things. But real quick, before we take a break, and you guys will stick around one more segment with us?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
But, like, somebody gets a claim, how quickly does that claim get out the door?
In about a week or so, 7 to 10 days typically.
So that check is in the widow's hand in a week?
Correct.
That's unheard of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's massive, right?
Yeah.
And normally, what does a regular insurance company take, 30, 60, 90 days?
Yeah. Yeah, anywhere around those days.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, look, kudos to you guys. We're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to come back, and you guys are going to tell some kind of bittersweet stories, because you can't really say that when somebody died, I have a great story for you.
Right.
But, you know, why this is so important. So we'll be back with more of the Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN.
You're listening to The Worker's Mic, powered by the National Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megan Financial, Premise Health, and Voya Financial.
Welcome back, everyone, to The Worker's Mic right here on 720 WGN. Ken, Phil, the guys from Coker Insurance Group, Will and Trent, thanks for sticking around. Before we get into a couple more questions and comments about this, you know, we have been asked time immemorial, how much can a spouse get in life insurance?
So the max is $30,000, life and AD&D.
$30,000?
Correct.
Okay. And why is that number not higher?
We have negotiations with Voya, and we're always looking to, striving to increase that number.
Well, I'm going to tell you why that number's not higher. Because we don't want to wind up on 2020. Because it's always the husband.
Yes.
Right? It's always the husband.
Okay.
And they always take out a life insurance policy 6 months before they, the wife disappears.
Mm-hmm.
I was on the road the other day, Phil, listening to, you can listen to 2020 now on the radio.
That's what you do on the road?
Okay. All right. Every single one of them was like, and then he took out a $1 million policy. And then she disappeared. And he said he didn't know where she went. And it's always the husband.
It's always a husband.
Yeah. So we're doing you guys a favor by only having that capped at 30K.
You're welcome, man. Yeah.
All right. So that's my joke. Anyway, I want to talk about a couple of it's hard to call them success stories, but let's just give us an example of something that made you feel good about doing what you do for a living.
Yeah, so one that comes to mind is a claim we just had recently. We had a member down in Missouri pass away suddenly. His wife was completely unaware that he had a benefit. She got paid out $300,000, and she doesn't work currently at the moment. So, before she found out about this benefit, she was massively concerned about, paying bills, burial expenses, outstanding medical bills, things like that. So she could not have been more grateful, finding out about this benefit and getting it paid to her in a timely manner.
Yeah, wow. that's great.
And how does she find you? Do you go out and find her?
Yes. Yeah. So we're notified every month of members who pass away. So we reach out directly as soon as we find out about it.
All right. So hold on. This is the insurance company is actually
calling and saying, hey,
we have money for you. Where does that happen? Nowhere.
It seems like, no, you have to track them down and wait, let me see the policy number,
I need a death certificate, all this nonsense paperwork, right? You guys will take an obituary, right? And just pay it.
And I'm sure that's pretty common because, how often does the husband discuss with his spouse about, hey, these are the different benefits I have? It can get, especially when you're looking at all the benefits that you get through your union as well.
Yeah.
There's a lot there.
That's for sure.
So it could be a little bit confusing of what is included as a benefit through the union, what is included through an additional benefit that he purchased through the NCL.
Yep.
So you could see how those conversations don't always happen and why there might be some confusion.
Yeah, I will say, I'll say this, brothers and sisters, if you have a policy through us, make sure that you print out a copy of it because it comes right to your email, and if you don't, you can call that number again, 888-212-7822, talk to one of these guys and get a copy of your policy, put it in safe place, and tell your significant other, right? Tell your beneficiary that, hey, I have a policy, here's where it is. So we don't have to track you down because it's your money and you've been paying for it.
Yeah.
Right?
And she wasn't working.
That's right.
Yeah. And obviously it's very tragic for her loss of her husband, but just to have that peace of mind is...
It's life-changing.
It's totally life-changing.
Yeah, there's no question about it. We got a call the other day and I forget where I was. I was in a different state. I don't remember what state I was in, but I was someplace and the phone rang and it was a woman and she literally just said, hey, I got money coming out of my bank account. My husband just passed away. I just want to stop that payment from coming out. And I'm like, wait a second, you have payment coming out of your... And she said, yeah. I'm like, did you notify anybody? Like, no, I wasn't actually married to him, et cetera. We went through this whole thing. And it turns out she had $100,000 waiting for her. And she was hysterical, crying on the phone with us. Because that was found money for her. And so we looked her up. I think it was you and me, right?
Well, right, yeah.
Was it one of the two of you guys?
It was Trent, I believe.
Was it Trent?
Yeah.
Don't give Trent any credit, all right? Well, and so, we have those kind of, like I said, they're tough to call them success stories, but it is a good feeling to know that your family is protected, right?
Yeah.
So, guys, when you're, give us some advice about when you need life insurance, Trent.
Yeah, so when you first, are getting into working and you're an apprentice, you don't really have many debts, right? You're younger.
Usually, yeah.
But
right?
as you get older, you know, you have big life events like marriage, you start having kids,
right.
you buy a house, you have a mortgage now. So these debts start to add up.
Yeah.
And that's really when you want to ramp up your life insurance.
Right.
You want to have at least the amount to equal your debts.
Right.
You know, if something were to happen, you were to pass away, you have that money for your spouse or whoever you're leaving to your beneficiary.
So they can stay in the house.
Exactly. Right. So they can pay down those debts and have enough to live off of.
Yeah. Okay. And then as you get older, right, then what happens?
Yeah. So as you get older, you know, and if you do have kids, they're leaving the house, you're becoming an empty nester, you're getting ready to retire, you can actually start to rent, you know, cut down that life insurance amount.
Really?
You can start to decrease that. Yeah.
So you guys will actually advise people that when they get closer to retirement and don't have as much debt, to say, hey, maybe you want to take a look at this. Do you really still need $350,000 worth of life? It's now costing you more than it did when you were, you know, 30 or 35. Maybe it's time to start thinking about ratcheting it down.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And, you know, at that point, they're collecting their pension, they're getting their annuities. So, like you said, they don't need it as much at that time period.
So you can take it into, you can take this plan into retirement, correct?
Correct.
That's correct, yeah.
Which is unheard of. Mm-hmm. Like, how many people are insuring retirees?
Not many.
No, I didn't think that was even possible. Yeah.
So it goes up to what age, guys?
Up till 75.
And at 70, it starts reducing?
That's correct, yeah.
Okay, so meaning like 50 cents on the dollar, something like that?
Right, yeah.
So you tell people like, hey, listen, you're paying all this money. Your benefit is actually going to be half. Maybe, you know, you should start thinking about, you know, keep enough to put you in the ground if that's what you need, but start thinking about that. You know, you guys are the antithesis.
Yeah, I think so you're telling people we don't want your money? That's kind
of
goes against
you. It's true. Look, yeah. Everybody I talked to, you know, said all they want to do is sell me insurance. They just want to sell because they're on commission, right? Sell. And they'll, you know, go to people's houses and knock on their windows and call and just harass you and go, you need to buy more insurance.
Right.
And I'm 90 years old, but, this guy's telling me I need a whole life policy. Like, this is all nonsense, correct?
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. And so we're actually giving our members what I think is good advice. And then we have financial planners on top of that that will look at your pension and your annuities and your Social Security benefit and how much you're going to pay for health insurance, and then incorporate the life piece into that as well. Like, hey, what kind of debt do you have, right? Mm-hmm. And look, some older members, you know, maybe they have gotten remarried. Maybe they bought another house, right? And so everybody's circumstance is different. Mm-hmm. But we have resources for all of this, right? And this is, in the name of financial literacy, and this is a massive piece of that, life insurance. And it's really, really important. So when does our current open enrollment end?
Goes until January 31st.
Okay. And we've had this open since October 1.
Correct.
That's right.
Right?
Are the carpenters still kicking butt?
They are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Carpenters are always number one.
Yep.
Right? I think but for 1 year, carpenters have been the number one union to purchase supplemental life insurance since we started this program.
Just in all aspects of life, number one.
Okay.
Best trade.
Here we go. That's not what I heard, but, you know. No,
best,
I mean,
best leadership.
Yeah. Best comms director.
That's for sure. Yeah. Not even close.
Well, but it is. Look, here, I'll tell you the God's honest truth, and that is the unions that have a good communication game see higher participation.
Oh, look
right?
at that.
It's very difficult to communicate with building trades guys. Why? Because they go from their house to a job, right? The job, they'll stop at the bar, or they used to. Now the Surgeon General says
on the way home.
Can't.
On the way home,
you know, on the way home, right?
Yeah, of course,
they can't anymore because it's bad for you.
All right,
but then they do it again the next day. So trying to catch these folks, they're working like in the middle of a field someplace, you know, or they're all over the place. So it's really tough. You know, it's not like a. You know, let's just use UPS, for example, right? They report to one location. It's easier to communicate. They got a union bulletin board, stewards, et cetera. Building trades guys are all over the place. So it's tough to communicate. So we send letters out, and we send email blasts, and we send Facebook posts, and we talk about it on the radio, and we send postcards, and then we send more letters. And then on February 1st, we'll get 400 calls to say, I never got a letter, and somebody just told me
that.
That's guaranteed.
Yeah, right.
Right. And then what will we do on February 1st? We'll let them enroll anyway, correct?
Yeah, correct.
Give them a little bit of a break. Yeah.
Grace period?
Right. Oh, grace period.
Yeah, yeah. So, and so we also have accident and critical illness insurance. Just real quick, what's accident insurance?
Yeah, so accident insurance, essentially, if you were to, you know, fall, slip, you know, break a bone, lacerations, burns, things like that. Depending on how severe that accident is, there's certain dollar amounts to get paid out.
Like an Aflac type.
Exactly.
Program.
So okay. It's a lump sum check that gets paid out to the member.
And what's critical illness?
Critical illness that covers heart attack, cancer, and stroke.
Okay. And so what about a heart attack that kills you?
So a heart attack that kills you...
Would you get paid out if you had critical illness? Because didn't we have this?
I don't believe so. So it's just, you know, a normal heart attack, but...
That where you wind up in the hospital.
Right.
Gotcha. Okay. So we had a guy that had a heart attack, and he was actually a 134 electrician. He called me. He had a heart attack, and he... it was like the Widowmaker one. It was like the bad one. And he's like, God was looking down at me because I was close to a hospital, and my coworkers got me to the hospital really quick and saved my life. And so he had our short-term disability. So he called me and said, you know, thank you so much. But for this, I wouldn't be able to make ends meet, et cetera, et cetera. I believe he had the critical illness as well and got a check for $20K. Mm-hmm. On top of that, then I said, you know, well, brother, after the heart attack, do you have life insurance? And he's like, yeah, but they keep, you know, upping the rate and lowering the amount of, you know, of my coverage. And now that I have the heart attack, I'm afraid they're not going to renew it. I'm like, how much are you paying? And he told me it was something like $300 a month for $70,000. And I'm like, dude, you can get $100,000 for, you know, $120 from us, or you get $350. You ain't getting life insurance anymore with the heart attack. And right. So he went out and bought it and put that money back in his pocket and got life insurance. And so, you know, here's a guy that, you know, unfortunately had a heart attack, but he checked all the boxes, right? He was able to use all of these benefits to his advantage.
Would they even insure him anymore after having a heart attack? I wonder.
So I had a heart surgery. Yeah. And I've applied just to see what you know what it looks like on the open market.
Yeah.
And literally, it's like, no, thank you.
Yeah.
Nope. No. And no.
Yeah.
Right? Hell, I can't even get car insurance sometimes.
That's for other reasons.
Yeah, terrible, terrible driver. Yeah. Well, I'm always in a rush, Phil.
That's right. Know? I get it. Yeah.
So, you know, like, you know, these are some of the things where, you know, you can't put a price on this. And there's only one reason that these members have these benefits. And it's not because of Voya, and it's not because of the National Coalition of Labor. It's because they're union members, yep. Right? The union went out and purchased this and combined their economies of scale and got this for the members, right? So on top of everything else that the unions are doing, they have all these benefits. So if you're listening out there and you're not, you know, if you're in a union and you're not part of the National Coalition of Labor, join us.
Join.
It's pretty simple, right? Call us, join us, 800-433-2099. You can get a hold of us. Google the National Coalition of Labor. And if you're not in a union, join a union. These are some of the things that we do. And you guys, like, do you guys get calls from people that are not in the coalition?
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, and what do you tell them? Like, hey, if you join the coalition, you can get this price.
Yeah.
But you'll help out. You'll help people anyway, correct?
Right.
Yeah, good. I mean, you're not going to turn people away.
Do you get many calls from people who are part of the coalition but haven't paid their dues? And you're going to be like, sorry.
We do sometimes, yeah.
And then it's like, hey, because in order to get any of these benefits, you have to be a card-carrying, dues-paying member in good standing.
Correct.
So it's like, hey, brother. Get your dues up to speed.
Yeah,
we had a guy.
It's worth the $30 a month, right? You know,
we had a guy in Minnesota that just refused to pay his dues. He was working, and he refused to pay his quarterly dues, and he passed away. And the union made a tough decision to say, "We told you to pay your dues. You just thumbed your noses." So they didn't pay the death benefit, and that tripled. That trickled around the union. Actually, I shouldn't say it flew around the union like, "Oh my God, these guys are serious," and they were, because you got to pay. You know, so there's no free ride, right?
All right.
No free riders.
No free lunches.
No.
Mm-mm.
Anything else you guys want to say? Both of these guys, by the way, are very tall. Trent, 6 what?
6'8".
6'8"?
Yep.
Will?
Only 6'4".
You're just 6'4"?
Yeah.
Oh, you're really short.
Only an inch taller than me.
Yeah. Ashley, did you hear that? 6'8 and 6'4". The 6'8 one is he's taken, but for now, anyway. You just got married, right?
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
Where'd you get married?
Italy.
You had a good time?
Great time. It was amazing.
Yeah. Well,
where do you honeymoon when you get married in Italy?
Yeah. That's a good point.
We just stayed over there. Okay. We just tacked on an extra week and just traveled around.
How long is it until do I have to get you a gift?
Well,
is it in
September,
a year?
So
it's a year, right?
It's a year.
Yeah. I think you have 8 months left.
My gift was not going to your wedding.
Yeah. Yeah. Trent, don't hold your breath on that one. Yeah.
You know what? Congratulations. You got on the show. That's your gift.
Yeah. Thank you.
All right, listen, we got to take a break, and we're gonna wrap up with some interesting developments in the law. But I just want to say thank you guys for all of your hard work. I really do mean it. I've talked to a ton of members that have called me and said, you know, it was a pleasure dealing with these guys. And also, there's Noah in your office, and now we have a Spanish speaker. Finally, Daniel, who's it's like it's a godsend for me because I get a lot of calls from people that like, hey, do you speak Spanish? I'm like, unfortunately, I don't, but I now have a guy that does, and he'll help with anything.
Right.
So it really is important work that you guys are doing. Hope it's rewarding. I know that your phone rings off the hook during open enrollment, which goes Christmas and New Year's, and I'm sorry about that.
It's a lot of fun.
You enjoy it?
Yeah.
Do you really enjoy it?
Yeah.
I mean, it's like a decent job, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, good for you.
Who doesn't want to talk to union people? Come on.
You don't make enough money, though, correct? Carl, you're listening.
Carl's listening?
Yeah. These guys need a raise. Look, they're both vice presidents, all right? Massive raise.
Cosign.
We're going to take a break. Thank you guys so much for coming in. One last time, phone number.
888-212-7822.
Awesome. Thank you so much. We're going to be right back with more of the Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN.
You're listening to The Workers' Mic, powered by the National Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megan Financial, Premise Health, and Voya Financial.
Welcome back, everyone, to The Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN. That was pretty cool, Phil, huh?
Yeah, it's
awesome. So you have some news.
Yes. Friend of the show, Izzy Doble, was just named the new Deputy Chief of Staff for Illinois House Speaker Emanuel Chris Welch, and now she's going to be going over to Springfield, and it's great to have an ally of ours.
Yeah, hell yeah. Congratulations.
In a position of power there, setting the policy in Springfield for us. So yeah, congrats to Izzy. Well deserved.
Yeah, it's good to see good people get good jobs and maybe affect some positive policy. And speaking of positive policy, I read this and I couldn't get over it. In California, right? California passed a law signed by Governor Newsom that requires high school students, juniors and seniors, to be taught about workplace rights, the achievements of organized labor, and students' rights to join a union, meaning when they get out of school or before. And so during the week of April 29th through May 3rd, 2024, all public high schools, including charter schools, so every single high school, probably, I guess, with the exception of religious schools, I would assume.
Yeah, all public schools.
But all public schools and charter schools will be required to provide students in grades 11 and 12 with information on workers' rights, including laws on child labor, wage and hour protections, worker safety, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And they said this. They said, look, schools are going to be required to educate students on their right to organize in the workplace, prohibitions against retaliation, and the pivotal role of labor movements in securing labor protection for workers. And so they passed this into law. Like, wow, that's amazing. And, you know, we were talking before the show with Will and Trent, right? And they, you know, they're obviously a little bit younger than me,
mm-hmm.
Phil. I don't know if
year
you noticed
or two.
That.
Yeah.
But they said, I asked them point blank, like, did you learn any of this in high school? And the answer was no.
Absolutely not.
Nothing.
Yeah.
Right? Labor history, labor reporting, you know.
I don't think many people learn this in college. There's only a few colleges that offer labor history programs, right?
Labor certificates programs like Bob Bruno and company, right? But yeah, you're 100% right. So unless you go out and seek this on your own or try and learn. And now, you know, in the world of, you know, Starbucks and Amazon and people sort of organizing, I think it makes sense. And so there, of course, immediately, you know, the right wing has come out and said, oh, you can't tell us what to teach and it's indoctrinating, you know, blah, 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 blah. But if you can mandate, you know, saying the Pledge of Allegiance or now having Bibles in school or telling people they can't teach creationism or whatever that is, right, then you can do this too.
Yeah.
And I think it's a positive. Kudos to California for doing it. I hope it doesn't get overturned.
Let's make this a national mandate. Every state. Right. God, that would be so important for a labor movement to let people know, like, this is what's out there. This is about your workplace rights. This is about your ability to earn a good and decent wage and collectively bargain for yourselves and your fellow employees.
And a lot of these teachers, by the way, are union members.
Yeah, and yeah. So, you know, they're public school teachers. There's a good chance they are.
Yeah. So they should be preaching the gospel anyway.
Yeah.
But, you know, look, you don't want to get crosswise with the administration. But now the administration says you not only can, but you have to teach this for a week or so to grades 11 and 12. And I think it's a good spot to teach kids because they're getting ready to either go into, you know, college, for example,
yeah.
or perhaps the workforce or perhaps an apprentice program, right? And I think, you know, Phil, I know you guys do it and a lot of the building trades do it. You know, you guys are going to job fairs now.
Yeah.
Right?
Right. All
high
the time.
School, high schools.
Yep.
And go, hey, like, look at the trades, young men, young women, come on in. I just read something today that more women are joining the building trades now than ever before.
I did see that.
Yeah. It's fantastic.
Right.
Right.
We're seeing more and more of that. We've got a very, very active coalition in our union, the Mid-America Sisterhood of Carpenters.
Oh, cool.
They have 2 monthly meetings and taking on leadership roles, going to conferences, national conferences,
yeah.
very involved with Chicago Women in Trades. It's great.
Look, some states have to start this stuff, right?
Yeah.
And so usually, it's quite frankly, it's Illinois. But in here, it was California. Good for them for getting there first. And I do think it'd be great to see other states copy that model.
Yeah.
I would assume that Iowa is not going to.
No. And I was thinking about the national model now that Linda McMahon is our Secretary of Education. Eh, wouldn't exactly hold your breath on that one either. Yeah. But yeah.
The wrestling lady.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, that's great. So listen, we got to go. Everybody, hope you had a great New Year's. We're looking forward to an awesome 2025. Doesn't matter who's in power. Labor's going to be in power. And
we're not going anywhere.
That's for sure. It's going to be another year of the worker. And we'll be back next week with more of the Worker's Mic right here on 720 WGN.
The preceding episode of the Worker's Mic was powered by the National Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megan Financial, Premis Health, and Voya Financial. For additional information and podcasts of the Worker's Mic, visit WGNRadio.com.